I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. On the program today, several members of the Rhythm and Rag Institute for Indian Performing Arts, based at the Channing Murray Foundation at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. They were with us a number of weeks ago, probably a few months ago by now, minus one of their members, the singer. The singer is with us this time, so we have singer, sitar, and tabla, which is an instrument we actually had a conversation about on yesterday's show but didn't get to hear. We'll get to hear live in our studio today. And it happens that all of these folks are performing tonight in downtown Champaign at the High Dive as the live music for the annual ACE Awards for Arts, Culture, and Entertainment, sponsored by the Champaign County Arts Council, 40 North, 88 West. So we'll tell you more about that event as well. On the later portion of the program, a conversation that was actually postponed from yesterday, originally intended it for yesterday, but we'll air it today, with Catherine Lewis, who is violist of the Illinois State University Faculty String Quartet, which is giving a recital tonight in Normal. Pretty full show for you. Hope you'll stay tuned to Live and Local. That was music by Randall Thompson, the last movement of his suite for a curious combination of instruments, which is oboe, viola, and clarinet, played here by members of Chamber Music Palm Beach on FM 90.9. The show is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And later on the show, we'll be talking with Catherine Lewis, violist of the Illinois State University String Quartet, who are performing tonight in Normal. But first, for the major portion of the show, we'll be revisiting three members of the Rhythm and Rag Institute for Indian Performing Arts, based on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign, and newly visiting with the member who was absent the last time. He wasn't in town at the time, Nirmalia Roy, who was their vocalist. All of them are going to be performing tonight at the annual ACE Awards in downtown Champaign at the High Dive. It's annually sponsored by the Champaign County Cultural Arts Council. I always get that mixed up, called 40 North, 88 West. And the big event, of course, is finding out who has won those awards. But the music should be wonderful as well. They'll be playing live here, and they're sitting live in our studio. Doors open for that event at the High Dive at 5:30. The ceremony starts at 6, and we'll hear some music from these guys on Live and Local today here on FM 90.9. So welcome back, those of you who were here before, and welcome Nirmalia Roy as well.
Thank you.
The folks who are back, I should introduce, are Sujatha Purkayastha, who is are you director of the Rhythm and Rag Institute?
Yes, okay. I'm the program director.
And Indrajit Banerjee, who is the sitarist, and Shubrata Bhattacharya, whose name I stumble over about umpteen times last time, and hopefully not today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so thank you all very much for coming in. You know, we had a brief conversation yesterday on the show with a tabla player who we didn't actually get to hear play because it was a telephone conversation, named Suresh Talwalkar. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Is he a household name in India, as his bio suggests, or not quite?
No, he's a good, he's a reputed tabla player out there.
Yeah. Well, he was at Illinois State University given a series of workshops called the Yoga of Rhythm. And in fact, I'll mention one of them right now just because it's coming up. There's one going on as we speak, but there's one at 2 o'clock on the ISU campus, and it's open to the public. You can check their website for more information. But so I guess for those who may have been listening to the show yesterday and heard us talk about the tabla but didn't get to hear it, and maybe didn't hear last time you were here, Shabrota. Why don't you give us a reintroduction to your instrument and a little bit about some of the different rhythms that one, some of the basic rhythms, whether it's 4 beats, 5 beats, 6 beats, 7 beats, and so on, in
your
music.
So you want me to introduce, like, kind of explain?
Yeah, tell us about it again.
Let me tell you, it's two drum basically. So right hand drum, it's made out of wood, and the left hand drum basically made out of brass. And on top of that, we put kind of goat skin, cow skin, and there's strings sideways to pull it down to for the tuning thing. And on top of that, there's a main part, it's called gub. It's made out of iron dust and rice paste. That's the thing.
Each of the drums has a different name?
Right hand drum, we call it daya, and the left hand drum, we call it baya. Basically, right thing, left thing. Maybe the other way around.
And collectively, tabla.
Tabla, yes.
And your role is usually as an accompanying instrument for voice, sitar, and other instruments?
Yeah, it used to be like that. Still now, it's a basic, primary accompanying instrument for North Indian classical music. And you can play solo on top of this. I mean, so basically you can call it solo as well as accompanying instrument.
And Mr. Talwalkar was talking yesterday about some of, in his performances, he will use his own voice as a rhythmic element, sort of accompanying himself on the drum.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that is commonly done on the tabla?
Yeah,
yes, no?
Not really. I mean, yeah, you have to recite your bowl, basically. That's
your
what it was meant to be like. If I recite a tukra kind of thing, maybe I'm reciting a teen tal, basic tal. Like,
okay.
Can you accompany me on that? Then da da then da da then da da then da then da da then da na then na then na. This is we call teen tal. It's an 18 bit rhythmic cycle. So based on that, if I recite something, I can play solo on top of this. So I'm reciting one tukra on this. Da den den na 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 den den na da den den na da den den na da den den na. Ganda 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 ganda
Okay. Now that when you're learning tabla, do you learn the drum first? Do you learn the rhythm first and the vocalizations? Do you learn them simultaneously, or how does that go?
Okay, so when we start, if I teach somebody first, I'll tell him about how we place our hand on top of the tabla, right? I have to tell them what is what. I mean, they should know what part I'm which finger I'm going to use for what, which level, right? That. Then I'll tell them a simple composition, kind of syllable. I'll tell them about the syllables like ta, na, te, te, how we play. Like if I say ta on na, it's like this. If I say te, te, it's like this, te, te. If I say ge, ge, it's like this. Then we give them small composition to start with, basic thing. Then that basically composed in a rhythmic cycle. If I said tere keta taka, tere keta taka, taka taka, tere keta taka, this is a basic thing I teach the people with, primary thing, you can say. So start with, it's basically based on a rhythmic cycle, kind of 8 beat or maybe 5 beat or something. And that's how it goes.
And since you mentioned if you were to teach somebody, you do in fact teach people.
Yeah, right.
Which is part of the point of the Rhythm and Rag Institute, correct, Sue?
Yes, exactly. We are actually a quite unique performing arts institute getting underway. We started last semester officially teaching. We have top-notch artists who are teaching students, as well as we do outreach. We are actually going to be in Southside School next week teaching some kids tabla.
That's in Champaign.
Yes, in Champaign.
Grade school in Champaign.
Grade school, and we had that as well last semester, and we're trying to keep up every semester some work there. That's one of our missions, I guess, is the outreach to community, taking these high-rated people who are ready to work and share the art of Indian classical music.
I might as well ask now about the thing that is running as we're talking here, because I assume our listeners can hear it, because I can hear it. What is this instrument that is sitting in front and making this sort of drone sound?
This?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a tanpura. Tanpura is a very well-known instrument, and it's very traditional instrument, and it's related to Indian classical music. And generally, tanpura made by the wooden, and it has four string, and other tanpura, some tanpuras has six strings. This is electronic tanpura, but it's a wooden made tanpura. It's so big, we can't carry it. You know, due to travel, you go many places. So that's why we are using this is electronic tanpura. Tanpura where the four string tanpura, there. Notes like one string is middle sa, like do, like
tonic note.
Tonic note is sa, and another is lower note, like bass sa, like sa and sa, bass note sa, and other is the fifth note, we call it pancham, or fourth note, like madhyam. So sometimes we tune like ma sa sa sa, ma sa sa sa, or pa sa sa sa. How the tanpura we play actually. So this is the electronic tanpura. So this is the sa. Sa 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 sa. Three strings are playing here now. Sa, sa, sa. Then we add pancham, like fifth note. Pa, sa, sa, sa. This is the tanpura basic concept.
And what is its role in the music?
It's just carry the tune, like this ambience of the tune, you know? It just carry the sa. In Western music, they had the chord, like, no, the background music of that song. This is the background music of our music. Like, this background scoring, like, if we sing any song, then it helps us. It helps us, like, just, like, it's like a chord, no? Mm-hmm. But we use pa sa sa or ma sa sa. It's like a chord. So, this is the background music of our song.
You can explain a little bit about, like, if you why you are using pancham for something and madhyam for something. So just explain that.
Okay. We will explain that in some of our rag. You know, the Indian music is like rag is very common name to Indian music. Rag is like the group of notes. From the group of notes, we use some phrase. Phrase means group of notes which used in rag, and in a specific rag, there is specific notes. Like there may be pentatonic rag means five notes combinations. Five notes combinations means the system in Western music kind of similar thing. Like do re mi fa sol la si la. In pentatonic rag, like five notes, like. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then again, it's come to upper sa.
Tonic sa.
So, sa re ma pa ni sa sa ni pa ma re sa. This pentatonic scale. So, there are some rag where we use six notes, like sa re ma pa dha ni sa ni dha. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So no,
there are some seven notes rag, like sa re ga ma pa da ni sa, seven notes. So where in some of the rags we use the pancham, then we use the pa sa 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 like fifth note. Hmm? When there is a fifth note is very powerful on that rag, then we use in pancham in tanpura. When the fourth note is very powerful, powerful means there is a note we call it badisar, means station note. We can stand there. Like in a chord, like in Western like system, if we play like D major, like sa ga pa, you know, this is a chord system. C, first note, third note, fifth note, this chord. La la la, the stations are like one is station. Second station is ga, ga, the third station is pa. This we call it station. In Indian classical music, there is the same kind of system. The sometime it's pancham, sometime is madhyam. Pancham is fifth note, madhyam is fourth note. So it depends how we improvise the phrase. So if we stress, if we emphasis on the fifth note, then we keep it in pancham, fifth note. Pa, sa, sa, sa. And if we emphasis on the fourth note, then we keep it in the fourth note.
This could get very complex, which we won't go too far into it because, of course, radio audience is probably tuning in and out to us here. Mm-hmm. The instrument that you were actually playing,
this is
the
called,
keyboard, what is that?
Yeah, this is called harmonium. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, it's quite similar to accordion instrument. Actually, it came very long years back. Actually, there are a couple of Western influence into Indian music also.
You can so many thing of piano, you know. You can, if you just keep it like small, more like piano.
Piano accordion kind of thing. Yes. So just we play with Indian music.
It looks like a miniature organ, an extremely miniature organ.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wood true. Sitting on the floor, except it's got this accordion bellows on the back of it.
That's true.
That's right.
That's true.
I mean, just since we don't have a TV audience, we have to sort of describe. Mm-hmm. Well, before we talk more about this, why don't we hear perhaps something that you might be playing tonight, performing tonight at the Ace Awards? And maybe introduce the rag for it, if you can, mm-hmm. whichever piece you want to start with.
So basically, we haven't decided anything. It's not like, we'll go there, we'll perform something. But
that's fine.
Definitely, we're going to play something right now.
The one thing we need to add, that is Indian classical music, this is not composed kind of music. No?
Right, yeah.
We just compose, we just create it on the spot.
Improvise.
Only we have only 7 or 6 or 5th note. Like, this is the constant. In rag system, we don't use too many notes. We use too many notes, but there is a limitation. Like, if we sing pentatonic rag, then we have to be within fifth note. So we create the on spot during singing that particular rag. So in Western music, there are a couple of things. Compose, they just look on the paper and just they play. But on Indian music, it's like
improvised,
mostly
improvised.
Well, and it's like jazz in the sense that
you
might have the tune written out, the basic tune and the chord structure, and then after that, you know, it's a free for all. You know,
yeah.
People do what they find creative to do.
Mm-hmm.
So choose something, and I mean, obviously, you'll decide mm-hmm. what the rag is going to be, and then go from there. So maybe you can introduce the rag to us.
Well. It's like late morning.
Okay.
Right.
It is early afternoon. Yeah.
Early afternoon.
Yeah.
Right. So we have a rag for that time of the day. So maybe we can play a little bit to show. We can't explain too much because, you know,
time limit
takes
is there.
Time.
Sure.
Yeah. So we are going to show how this instrument sitar works. With a vocal, because, you know, like a guitar, it's equivalent to a guitar, except it has a lot of glides. You mm-hmm. can do 4 or 5 note glides on a sitar. And basically, you sing inside and play. So, as we have a singer here, a good singer, so we try to do something together in a very dark rag, which is also a morning rag. Like, the notes are pretty dark in the sense like quite strong notes, but it gives the flavor of the morning. So we have this rag todi, and you'll see how we develop a rag like this. Why this is ascending notes that we use in this rag, and the descending are. So we add one more note, and then there are small subtleties. How do we use that note? Like, so that is how we use that note. So a little small demonstration of this rag in vocal and sitar.
Okay. So I need to add something. There are a couple of things we use during vocalization, also in instrument playing. So he already has said that this is ascending and descending. The sa re ga ma dha ni sa sa ni dha pa ma ga re sa, ascending and descending. We use mid. The mid, the basic difference from the Western music. Mid is the bridge between two notes. Two notes like sa ga, sa ga. The mid is like, in Western music, like la la la. In Indian classical music, we sing la. This is called mid.
Okay.
And the first progression of the notes, like if there is five notes, like sa re ga ma pa, we call it tan. First progression, like sa re ga ma pa pa ga re da, sa re ga ma pa pa ga re da, sa re ga ma pa pa ga re da. This is called tan. This is called tan, the first progression of the notes. Gamak. Gamak is a very deeper sound movement of the notes, like ba 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 ma 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 ga 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 re 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 sa 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 ni 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 da 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 ga re sa. Krintan, like there is another note movement like pa 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 ta pa la pa ma ga re sa. Da, 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 da. Then we permutation combination this kind of vocalization of the note movements. This way we just create the mood of the ragas. So yeah. These are the basic movement of the notes in Indian music.
So we're talking with, let me just reintroduce you all for listeners just tuning in. We're talking to members of the Rhythm and Rag Society Institute. For Indian class, Indian performing arts, at based at the University of Illinois. The members with us are on sitar Indrajit Banerjee, vocalist, and on the harmonium is Nirmalya Roy, and on the tabla, the drums, Subrata Bhattacharya, on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Let's put it all together.
Da 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 Thank you.
And that could have gone on all night, right? Or all, on all afternoon. That was a performance by some members of the Rhythm and Rag Institute for Indian Performing Arts based at the University of Illinois, the Channing Murray Foundation. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, the performers on tabla, Subrata Bhattacharya, on sitar, Indrajit Banerjee, and the vocalist Nirmalya Roy. All of them will be performing live tonight at the annual ACE Awards, presented by 40 North 88 West, the Champaign County Arts, Culture, and Entertainment Council, at the High Dive in downtown Champaign on East Main Street. Doors open at 5:30. The ceremony begins at 6 o'clock, and of course everybody will find out who won those awards, who the judges were, and get to hear some wonderful music by these performers. With them also is the director of the Rhythm and Rag Institute, Sujatha Purkiyastha. And tell us about some of the other events that you have coming up, because I know there are more besides this thing tonight.
Yes. If you please come and hear this tonight and support Champaign County Arts Programs, and you will enjoy music like this as you sample just now. we have a couple of other things coming up. One is there is going to be a program on November 6th at the Channing Murray Foundation, starting at 8 in the evening, and Nirmalya Roy and Subrata Bhattacharya will be performing for the kind of the students and anyone else who in the public like to come and hear some Indian music.
That's on a Friday night, I think?
It's a Friday night, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a Friday
there
night.
There I'll describe like how Indian classical music still flowing latent into our all kinds of, all style of music style, like in filmy music, in semi-classical music, in folk music, everywhere the same flow of the Indian classical music.
You get to hear some other kinds of Indian music and as it's related to the classical music as well. And then we have actually in Chicago, we're going to have a workshop on November 8th at the Hindu temple, the greater, what is the name of the place?
Lamont Temple.
Yeah, the Lamont Temple. It's the Hindu Temple of Greater Chicago. That's the name of it. And we have information on the, I can send email or if you want to contact, it's fine. You can go to www.channingmurray.org and find out more information about that. That's a workshop if people want to learn intensively for 2 hours, 3 to 5. Don't mind driving up to Chicago for some lessons. But we have our school still, and we are still having people sign up and take classes, some intense classes, as these guys are here for a few more weeks for now, and then they'll be back in the spring in February as well.
Now, these guys, meaning Indrajit and Nirmalya.
Nirmalya and Subrata.
Subrata. So you're all going away for a while and then coming back?
Yeah, they'll be gone briefly, take an interlude and come back. And we'd like to just acknowledge our dance member.
Please.
Raman Kumari, she's at home listening to us, and we had her last time.
Yes.
And dance, you actually have to see it. So
yes, it's a very different experience than listening to dance on the
floor. Right, exactly. But she's definitely a part of us, so I just want to
Will she be joining you tonight at the High Dive?
She's not performing, but she'll be there. Okay. Yes.
Well, I really appreciate everybody's coming in today. I wish we had the rest of the hour, but I'm also pleased that we'll be able to talk with one of the members of the Illinois State University Faculty String Quartet. In just a few minutes, they will be giving a concert tonight in Normal. So if you're in Normal, wherever you are, you can decide which of these and many other events to go to, and I'll have a brief calendar of some of those as well. I'll try to make sure to get that in before the end of the hour.
Thanks, Kevin. We appreciate being able to be here today.
Thank you very much.
It's always
a
pleasure to come here.
Well, I hope we'll have you back. And and if you do, you know, do you have any actual evening, you know, evening-length concerts scheduled at all? Anytime soon?
Not right now. We'll be doing it in spring. Definitely.
Again in the spring.
Okay.
Yes.
But
we
really will want to know about
those. Performing, which is not like an event under Rhythm and Rag, but we'll be performing in Crenate Arts.
Yeah, they're coming next week.
On 30th with Flat Earth Ensemble Band.
30th of?
Of this month.
Of October.
Next week. Yeah.
Oh, that's next Friday.
And Subrata are involved with that.
Myself and Indrajit will be there with the Flat Earth Ensemble.
It's a jazz quartet.
Oh, that'll be a wonderful kind of fusion thing going on. Yeah. So that's next Friday.
Yes.
The day before Halloween. That'll be nice. Well, thank you all very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our programs today are made possible with support from Lincoln Square. Starting as one of the nation's first enclosed malls, Lincoln Square has now evolved into a mixed-use lifestyle center. Information on business space and future development projects is available at 217-367-4092. That's apart from the opening movement of Beethoven's string quartet in B-flat, Opus 18, number 6. It's the last of his first set of quartets, which will be one of two works on a concert tonight by the Illinois State University String Quartet at Kemp Recital Hall on the ISU campus. It starts at 7:30. I may have said 8 o'clock earlier, but it's at 7:30 tonight. And yesterday, I guess it was 2 days ago, I spoke with Catherine Lewis, who is the violist of the quartet and an assistant professor at ISU School of Music, about the quartet and their program tonight. And just started by asking her about the membership, because one of their faculty members is on leave, and so she just discussed who's in the quartet, and how the quartet is put together, and we go on from there.
This concert is unique. Our normal cellist, Adriana Ransom, just had twins about a month ago, and so she's on maternity leave, and Amy Flores, who's a Champaign-area cellist, is going to be joining us for this concert.
And Amy's also on faculty at Millikan University.
She's on faculty at Millikan, and she's filling in on faculty this semester at ISU. And our second violinist is always a graduate student violinist who's chosen through audition and scholarship program.
And so this is Rebecca Cutler. Is mm-hmm. she a master's student, doctoral
yes,
student?
She's a master's student. We don't have a doctoral program.
And so the master's student gets to be in the quartet for as long as they're at ISU, or just for a year, or how does that work?
Yeah, for their time here. We have just one spot for a talented violinist, and so she won the audition last spring, and will be with us for the next 2 years.
Well, you just answered my next question, because I was going to ask if she had to audition or if she was handpicked.
Yeah, she was. Dr. Gentry, Sarah Gentry, usually kind of works on that. That's part of her recruiting program, and she was pretty much handpicked last year. So
let's say then that the faculty string quartet does consist of Sarah Gentry as first violin, Rebecca Cutler, we've mentioned, as a violinist, and of course the violist we're talking to right now, Catherine Lewis, with guest cellist Amy Flores. Is chamber music a particularly favorite kind of music for you to play, or do you like mixing it up with orchestral and solo and so on?
Well, for me personally, I think it's really amazing to have a job where I get to do both, where I get to, part of my actual faculty load is performing with the faculty quartet. And I love chamber music. That's probably why I picked viola in the first place. And it's really enjoyable that I get to do a mix of things, both by performing orchestrally throughout the region and solo concerts also. So it's a pretty good deal for me.
Let me go back to that viola comment. How is picking the viola special in that way? Because you could certainly, on, say, violin or cello, also mix it up with chamber music and so on.
I just have always been really drawn to the viola's role in a string quartet as opposed to orchestral playing. It's a little bit more detailed, and I really, just the range and the register and the way the parts are written for viola really appeal to my personality. I've played violin growing up and made a conscious decision in high school to switch to viola just because it suited me better, I guess.
What about the physical suiting to you? I'm actually looking at a picture of you from your on your bio on the Illinois State University College of Fine Arts website, and I've seen you play, of course, in person, and your viola seems fairly large. Is that true, or is it kind of normal size?
Well, my viola is a little bit of an optical illusion. It's no larger than most standard size violas, although I should mention there really isn't a standard size for violas. It's a bit of an acoustical disproportionate instrument, and so there's all different sizes for that would be considered full-size instruments. My particular viola is made by a modern Japanese-American named Hiroshi Iizuka, who is kind of experimenting with more of a gamba design of the instrument, which is why it kind of looks bigger, but it really isn't any bigger than normal instruments.
I know there are some violas that have been specifically constructed to kind of work around some of the problems that seem to be physically inherent in playing the viola.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's true of my instrument as well, because it has sloped shoulders, which you would normally see in a double bass or a gamba, viola da gamba design, and that's to facilitate playing in upper positions, which is more important in solo repertoire than it is in chamber music, but it still kind of helps that. And he compensates for the size by making the lower part of the instrument a little larger than you'd normally see.
So the problem I was talking about has to do with the viola being larger than a violin and sometimes really overextends people's arms, is that correct?
That's right. It's physically more demanding to play in some respects, and you have to approach sound production a little differently on the viola. But in general, the technique is quite similar.
Does it help at all that you're a fairly tall person?
It probably does. Maybe that's why I've always enjoyed playing it.
How long have you been at ISU?
This is my fourth year here on faculty.
And where were you previously?
I'm finishing up doctoral work at Rice University's Shepherd School of Music in Houston, and came from the Cleveland Institute before that.
So that's sort of long distance. Are you going to actually get your doctorate done that way?
It's pretty close to being done.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks.
Because I know that can be a real risk.
Yeah, Rice has been very supportive of my work here and certainly facilitating what I need to do to finish. So I'm just finishing up that dissertation.
So the program you're doing on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
Now you have, it's the one piece by Antonín Dvořák, it's called Terzetto, which, what does that mean?
That just means it's for three people, voices.
But this is a string quartet.
Well, it's a string trio.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because we have the lack of our normal cellist this semester, we decided that we'd explore a very beautiful but more unusual work for two violins and viola, which is really quite nice, and probably wouldn't have had an opportunity to learn it if she had been around. So
you're taking advantage of her delivery of these twins.
Right.
And playing this piece.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played it before?
No, I haven't. I've always wanted to learn it, though. So.
Tell us about it a little bit.
It's in four movements. It's actually structurally very similar to the Beethoven Quartet in that, it's just a standard sonata sort of layout. And the viola part is, obviously my instrument, and it's really quite lovely because I get to be the bass voice quite often, which I guess I've always wanted to be a cellist. So, but there's a lot of melodic passing of melodies between the instruments, and was written not for the concert hall, but it was written kind of for Dvořák's friends. And but unfortunately, I think I remember reading that the violin part was too hard for his friends, so he had to write another piece for them.
So who got to play it then, I wonder?
Don't know who first performed it. That's something that I'd have to look up.
Hopefully not his enemies.
Hopefully not. But and Dvořák was a violist, actually. He didn't write a lot of solo music, or really any solo music for the viola, but his chamber music has great viola parts in it.
I didn't think I knew that he was a violist.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he played the viola in an orchestra under Smetana, actually.
Bedřich Smetana, who was kind of his predecessor as the great Czech composer.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing this recital in Kemp Recital Hall. I've not been in that space, and you said this Terzetto of Dvořák's is a rather intimate piece. What's the recital hall like?
The recital hall is much smaller than our Center for the Performing Arts, which is where our large ensembles perform. It's a more intimate setting, seats, I'm really bad at hall numbers, but it's suitable for this size performance and this size audience. We do a lot of our solo concerts there as well.
And nice acoustics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a very lovely hall.
And what kind of audience does a typical faculty string quartet concert get, if you can say? I know you just said you're not good at numbers, but do you fill the house?
Of course, our students all come to it, and we have a small community following, here in town. So, but we definitely welcome new to ISU concert goers. We'd love to have some new faces in the audience.
Which, of course, is part of the point of this conversation.
Indeed.
To get people connected to the groups over there. There's an awful lot of performances that go on at ISU. I've been trying to keep up and expose them sometimes on this show. The second part of the program is really the quartet part, this B-flat quartet by Beethoven, one of his early ones, right?
Yeah, it's the sixth Opus 18 quartet.
And that was the first set of quartets he wrote?
Indeed, yeah.
Some of the later ones can be sort of rough going for a listener sometimes, which you wouldn't think from Beethoven. What about these early quartets?
Yeah, well, Beethoven was known for kind of breaking all the rules of classical formal structure, and you see the opening movements of this quartet definitely follow kind of in the footsteps of what Haydn and Mozart had laid out in terms of string quartet writing, but the last movement's really unusual, and it's definitely got a lot of kind of sudden changes of character and mood and tempo, which is really kind of more indicative of his later quartets. So it's a really kind of interesting piece to play and to listen to.
Some of the Opus 18 quartets, those early quartets of Beethoven, I know they're the ones more likely to be played by, say, student groups, maybe because they're a little more readily comprehended. Is that fair
to
say?
They're a little bit more accessible, both technically and musically. Sure.
And so, do you happen to coach your students on any of the literature that, as a faculty quartet, you're performing?
We don't have anyone playing a Beethoven quartet this semester. I could be wrong about that, but not that I recall. But we certainly have in the past, recent past, and it's we have had lots of student groups work on various Dvorak quartets as well. So it's great for them to get to hear their teachers play similar music, if not same pieces that they've played before.
Do you have a pretty active chamber music program within the School of Music for strings?
We do, and it's growing. Every year it seems like we have one or two more groups, a very, very busy and very enthusiastic group of string students right now.
Do you have established quartets that you plug people into, or are they just encouraged to form their own ensembles?
They're encouraged to form their own, and we kind of help anyone that wants to do it find a group. So it's we've got probably two-thirds of our string students are playing chamber music right now.
I had a conversation with Glenn Block, who is the conductor of the orchestra at ISU, I think probably a couple weeks ago before the orchestra concert there. And he commented that he thought the faculty at ISU, string faculty, including yourself, was particularly supportive of orchestral playing, which doesn't always happen in schools of music. Would you say that's true? And if so, why is that?
Well, I think the nice thing about being a slightly smaller institution, of course slightly smaller than the U of I, which is there in town, is we get to work more closely with our colleagues. And so it's not unusual that the orchestra is rehearsing kind of right next door to my office, and I'll walk in and watch a little bit of the rehearsal. And we're happy to give sectionals. We just want our students to perform their best no matter what kind of music they're playing.
Catherine Lewis, Assistant Professor of Music at the Illinois State University School of Music in Normal. She is violist in the ISU Faculty String Quartet, along with violinists Sarah Gentry and Rebecca Cutler and cellist Amy Flores. They're giving a recital tonight at 7:30 at Kemp Recital Hall on the ISU campus in Normal, music by Dvorak and Beethoven, and we were pleased to have her on the show today. I'll have a calendar of a number of other events you can go see and hear in our listening area in just a moment. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I want to mention that on tomorrow's program, we will have members of the Champaign Central High School Drama Department talking about and performing excerpts from the musical Sweeney Todd, with their director, LaDonna Wilson. Also, in the later portion of the show, the Israeli Ethnic Ensemble, which is in residence in Bloomington Normal this week. We'll have one of their members here and hear some of their music on the show tomorrow. Our program is made possible with support from Women's Health Practice, Dr. Suzanne Truppen, offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal and Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com. Here is some of the terzetto, the trio by Antonín Dvořák for two violins and viola. This is played by members of the Smetana Quartet.